and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The first scripture reading is found in your pew Bibles, in the book of Joshua, page 254. And we read Joshua 24, selected verses, beginning at verse 1. Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way that we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord had drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second lesson is from Ephesians chapter 5, found on page 1252. We read Ephesians 5, beginning at verse 6. "Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not associate with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and is right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, 'Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns, and spiritual song, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is the word of the Lord."
Thanks be to God.
We rise out of respect for the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. John, found on page 1142, and we read John 6, beginning at verse 51. Jesus said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Then the Jews disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, "Do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is of no avail. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. There are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe, and who it was who would betray him. And he said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father." After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your Old Testament reading for today from Joshua chapter 24, where Joshua speaks to the leaders of Israel and says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." This is our text. You know, I love to do that show of hands thing, so I'm going to start off with that. How many of you think that if an eighth grader decides he just would rather stay up late at night and not go on for high school, that a parent should give that option to make that decision to an eighth grader? Raise your hand. Interesting. Now, usually I get a few hands going up for things. Not a single one. Huh. All right, let's try this one out. How many of you think it would be a good idea to let a 5-year-old do some cutting with a 12-inch chop saw? Raise your hand. What great unanimity we have in this church. And I can tell you why no hands have been going up for those two questions. It's quite simple, you see. To do either of those two things would be stupid. Dumb beyond belief. Only disaster could result. There's a joke that we pastors tell amongst ourselves. It concerns a rabbi, a priest, and a Lutheran minister who all had bats in their belfries that they were trying to get rid of. The rabbi and the priest had tried all kinds of different mechanisms, whistles, bells, lights, and things. Nothing was working. But the Lutheran pastor succeeded. And they inquired as to what he was able to do to get the bats out of his belfry. And he said, "Oh, it was simple. I just confirmed them and I never saw them again." Apparently, some of you haven't heard that one. But how many Lutherans give to their 8th grade children whose brains are not yet fully formed the right to make that choice while living in their household? The reason so many of you laughed at that joke is because you know it's so true. And as a result, not only are souls being lost for Christ, the world we live in is being changed in ways that a few years ago would have been thought unthinkable. The household, you see, is the foundation of human government. You read in scriptures how we live at home, the love we receive, the respect that we show, becomes the model for how we live our lives out in the workplace, out in the world, or in school. Ask any teacher, and I'm one of them. My degree actually is in elementary education. I student taught. And all throughout my ministry, I've had to deal with 7th and 8th graders and confirmation classes. And teaching children in all kinds of other settings. Ask me or ask any teacher you know. Can you tell which students are both loved and disciplined at home? Who are taught to care about others? Versus the ones that aren't? They'll not only tell you yes, you can tell who those children are, but you also tell who they are in about 3 minutes. Look at where our world is today. Our culture has changed because households have changed. If I told you 20, 30 years ago that not only would the legalization of men marrying men and women marrying women have taken place, but people who do such things would be pastors and leaders in many church bodies, not this one, thank God. You'd have told me I was crazy. If you'd have talked to the people who had freed the Nazi concentration camp, who'd seen the horrors, not only of cruel treatment to other fellow human beings, but experimentations. Told those people who had fought so hard to keep our nation free of that kind of thinking, that in 2015 we would discover there are organizations dedicated to the selling of human body parts, sponsored by our government. They would have told you that that was unthinkable. America would no longer be America if that's what we approved of. But that's what we've come to. And a good part of our nation accepts that. But it's not the government's fault. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. When Joshua spoke those words to Israel, the people responded with, if I may paraphrase, "Of course, why would you want to do anything else? It'd be stupid. Because look at what this God whom we serve is." Or more to the point of the text, "Then the people answered, 'Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God.'" Why would you give anybody in your house a chance to serve some other god if you have any influence or control? And we know far more than even those Israelites did. We know the depths of the love that God has for us. That while we are a rebellious people, while we sin every day, the love of God was so great that he would send his only son, Jesus, to pay the price for our sins with his own flesh and his own blood. But not only is that the depth of the love of God, when Jesus rises from the dead, he doesn't just rise for us. He rises so that he can give to all who believe in him, to all who trust in him, a life eternal with him. We not only worship a God of great love, we worship a God of great power and might. But as Jesus is sharing that message with the people of his hometown, he begins to experience the same thing that we often experience when we're sharing Christ with other people. People begin to object. Maybe they're just tired of hearing it. Or maybe they object because you are striking a nerve. You see, to forgive someone their sins, you also have to define what a sin is. And nobody likes being told they're wrong. Nobody wants their sins brought before them. And yet, unless we do that, we can't experience the healing power that forgiveness brings. So you're talking with people and what you're saying is, well, just not appealing to them. They ask you to dial it back just a little bit, tone it down, or let's move on to another subject. Jesus was preaching in his hometown, people who watched him grow up, maybe some of the people that he played with when he was a child. And that's what they're asking him to do in our gospel lesson for today. But he doesn't tone it down. Doesn't dial it back. Because what he is speaking is the truth. And what he is telling them is what they need to be saved. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, "Do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is of no avail. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. There are some of you who do not believe." And after this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Salvation is found in no other name. Nothing else works. Or as Jesus puts it in the Gospel of John, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Thank God that we are gathered here to listen to the words of truth that God gives, to receive His hope, to focus on things that are eternal, not things that are temporary, to be forgiven our sins, and to learn about the life that we needed to live. Let's not just know that for ourselves. Wherever we have influence, let us use it. Wherever we have control, let us use it. Teach others about Christ and His love and His mercy. Yeah, some people will back away from us. They won't want anything to do with us if we're going to make it a point to give Jesus to them. It will take a lot of work and a lot of effort, especially as children are growing up, sitting in with them in the pew, helping them to learn. Can't tell you how many sermons my wife missed. I've never accepted complaints from single parents that it's just too hard to go to church with one or two children, because my wife went to church by herself for the last 30-some years, with the exception of a few vacation days. And I think we've done okay. But I can also tell you, for about 8 years, she never knew what my sermon was about, because the household was what mattered. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Let those not just be the words of Joshua. Let his words be our word. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, "Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice," was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.